There is a fandom in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again, and welcome. Today, I have two guests with me, and as we get further into the show, I'll explain to you why there are two authors. Gail Kittleson, who has been on the show before, is an author, a speaker, workshop, and retreat facilitator who serves as mentor and educator to other authors, which brings her unique satisfaction. Gail's website, Dare to Bloom, came by its name honestly. It took her time to acquire the courage to put her writing out there, and eventually her memoir developed, which led to writing World War II fiction. Lynn Dean was prompted to begin her professional writing career when she wrote a Texas history curriculum for homeschool families. It's an immersive hands-on adventure, tells a story and gives kids a chance to experience aspects of it for themselves to get their hands dirty with the dust of history. Discover Texas launched in 1999 and it's still going strong. She's written four other nonfiction books about how to teach all learning styles on multiple levels, topics that she also addresses as a speaker at homeschool conventions. Her first novel, Stronger Than Mountains, book one in the Sangre de Cristo series, launched in 2011. A Hill Country Christmas will be her fifth self-published fiction. Gail, Lynn, welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good to be here.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's a delight to have the both of you at once. My goodness, what a blessing it is. It's always nice to have one guest to be able to visit with, but two at once is going to be really fun. I haven't done this, but maybe once or twice before. First of all, Lynn, Gail has been on the show before, and I'm going to get a little bit of a history from her here in a minute. But for you, I would like to know, I know that you are an author. Would you share with us, is writing something that you just couldn't wait to grow up and write stories? You started writing when you were a little kid, or did you get into writing a little later on in your life?
I was telling stories before I could write them down. My mother actually wrote the first story I made up down for me, and she even encouraged me by making a little hand puppet, and she read the story, and I got to act it out when my daddy got home from work, and he and my little sister laughed and clapped in all the right places, and I was hooked. But I didn't actually begin to write fiction until my last child graduated from high school. So I'm both early and late as a writer.
So you had the dream from the time you were little, you didn't get to realize it until later on in your life.
I did. I said, this is my dessert.
And Gail, for you, would you share with listeners, I know you've shared before because you've been on before, would you remind listeners, what is your history in the writing field?
Well, I knew I was supposed to be a writer from the time I was in junior high. I did poetry exclusively for quite a while. And then I went to college, but I majored in English, but went the teaching route because I didn't have the confidence to pursue my own writing, and that took decades to develop. So I encouraged and cheered a lot of other writers along the way in college expository writing classes, but never really thought I'd be writing fiction. In 2001, I was nominated to be in a week-long writer's retreat in Oregon, where I taught. And during that week, I was in the student's chair again, and a lot of pretty powerful memories came out in some of the essays that they assigned. And that was the beginning of a memoir, which I didn't realize. But anyway, 10 years later, that became a published memoir. Something about that process opened me up to be able to have my first character come to me and to begin writing fiction. The rest is history. I am still writing World War II, women's fiction, literary fiction, and love it, and I'm utterly addicted.
And I've read several of your books, and they are wonderful. Lynn, I have not had the opportunity to read anything of yours yet, but hopefully one of these days I will get to do that.
I hope so.
Gail, you and I just came off of a, if you would, call it kind of a mountaintop and valley experience. Gail and I were both at the Write His Answer Colorado Greater Philadelphia Virtual Christian Writers Conference combined. We all spent, what, 3.5 days sitting in front of Zoom screens. It was wonderful. And we heard many stories of success, of people that didn't think they would ever find success. It's always such an inspiring experience. Gail, you mentioned that it was 10 years before your memoir was published. Tell us about that journey. What was that like for you, having to wait what probably seemed a very long time?
Well, somewhere in there, one of those years, I thought pretty well finished, I attended the CCWC like we just went to, and that was my first conference ever, and it was a crazy wild experience. There were three editors fighting over my writing, and you know, one guy said, I'll give a $15,000 advance for this. That's an estimate, and I didn't even know what an advance was, and. Anyway, so it was this incredible experience where I didn't sleep basically for the entire week. And then I got home, and that year the bottom fell out of the market. So a lot of those people lost their jobs or had to switch to something else. And so some of those promises, none of them actually came true. And so I was pretty disappointed about that, but I plugged away at it. And eventually found Whitefire Publishing out of Connecticut, and they accepted my manuscript and published my memoir, Catching Up with Daylight. So that's what it had gone through by that time. They had a really wonderful editor who taught me a lot, and so it had gone through just a whole slew of edits before it saw the light of day, which is a good thing.
When we look back on it, I can't speak to that yet because I don't have anything out there. That's why it's always such a joy to talk to people who have found success in this industry. You're always inspiring to me. Lynn, how about you? What was your first experience with publishing? Did things go smoothly for you and nothing absolutely went wrong? Or?
Oh, I couldn't say nothing went wrong, but it has been a wonderful experience. My first professional writing project was a Texas history curriculum called Discover Texas. I sometimes describe myself as a reluctant historian. I love stories and I love research, but for some reason, history, I just, the way that it was taught to me was so segmented, it just seemed like names and dates of dead guys, and I could not get a handle on what it all meant or how it all fit. So we homeschooled, and when it was time for me to teach Texas history, I did not want to make my kids hate it as much as I had. My husband loved history and pointed out to me that we lived in the middle of a field trip, and I said, well, you tell me how everything goes together, and I'll write it down. And we ended up having a wonderful combination of real books, and an overview, like a spine, and links, and field trips, and hands-on projects. So I went to program it, and that was fraught with travail because it was 1999. We have the internet, but e-books were not a thing then. So, and I did not know how to program, so it was a huge upward learning curve. But we got it done, and we found homeschool book fairs to market it, and people began to buy it. It has been going strong now for 23 years.
Wonderful. Well, Lynn, I wish I could remember the exact quote, but I love the way you just said, didn't your husband say, we live in the middle of a field trip? Or I thought, wow.
We do.
Pretty neat.
We do, and we have since moved to San Antonio, so we really are right dead center in the heart of Texas history and at the gateway to the Texas Hill Country. So we are definitely loving where we live.
I'm so envious of both of you ladies because I'm trying to write historical in my area, but I am not real good at the research. However, in this part of southeastern Colorado where I live, there is a wealth of historical information. Kit Carson lived here. William Bent came out here and started Bent's Old Fort. We have Boggsville National Historic Site right down the street from me, and we have a museum, and I just don't know where to start.
If I may insert, it's kind of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Just start with one piece whose colors attract you, and then see if you can follow that thread, find the edges, finish that one little section, and it tends to grow and connect in really surprising ways.
I like that analogy, Lynn.
You want to write fiction, you just kind of start with an everyman character. When we read history books, it's about the people who became famous. But lots of people lived through those same events. And most of them were just trying to make the right choices to get them through to tomorrow and survive. And you just come up with an idea and then become familiar with what their challenges were. And your story grows from there.
That's very true. Ladies, there is a reason why I invited you, the both of you, onto the show today. And that is because you write together. I am most interested to know, first of all, how did you meet up with each other? Did you just put a message out there on some writing board or something and say, hey, I want somebody to write with. Anybody out there interested? How did that work?
No, we didn't do that. For the last few years, I've been intrigued by Texas and Texas history. There's no place quite like it because it was a republic, and what other state has, you know, been self-governing before it became a state? I just think that the whole place is so interesting to me. And so when I got really serious, when a character came to me who emigrated from the United Kingdom before World War II to the Texas Hill Country, and I started searching for his actual destination, that's when Lynn and I got connected. I called the Mason County Library and met a man there, an elderly man who sent me all kinds of information. And the more I read, I knew this was the right area. But then I read the name Loyal Valley, named by John Moisebach, one of the very early pioneers. I just knew instantly that was the town he was coming to. So then I can't really remember, Lynn, do you remember how we actually connected? But I must have on some Facebook page or historical site or something said, does anybody know anything about this area? Do you want to take it from there, Lynn?
I don't remember either exactly where it was, but I do know that when we first swapped information, you hadn't completely settled on Loyal Valley, but I had volunteered to help since I'm familiar with the general area. And then you said, oh, I found just the place. Do you know of it? And I said, no, I have not heard of it. But my husband and I enjoy driving on the weekends and just taking back roads and finding historical things and traces of history. And we happened to be driving out between Fredericksburg and Mason, and we passed this tiny blue sign that said Oil Valley with an arrow. It's a spur road off of the main, I would say the main highway, but it's a very small highway. It's a farm to market. This is a spur road off of that. And so we turned around and took that road and drove through it, and I started taking pictures. We drove on up into Mason and stopped at the Dairy Queen, and while Tom went in to get us something to drink, I called Gail and started sending her pictures as we talked, and we were hooked.
I think that's about it. I thought that was pretty cool. They would go to all that effort to find that little town and take pictures. So,
well, it was accidental that we found it, but I thought, that's what you were just asking me about, and I found it. So it was fun.
Yeah.
We both made a discovery.
What a fun story. And do you ladies ever feel like God's hand was in that?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
like that day, Lynn, he just led you out there because he knew that Gail was going to need a place to write that story. And I love the way that he works in our writing. So tell me, assume that I am a reader who has been so involved in raising kids or whatever that I have not been into a bookstore or read a book for an extended period of time. And I walk into a bookstore finally, and I come across this book, and it's called Land That I Love by a lady named Gail Kittleson. And I look at the back cover and I think, oh, wow, this book looks really cool. So I pick it up and I walk around a little bit more, and then I find this book that has the names of 5 different authors on the front of it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, did it take 5 people to write this? Tell me what that's all about.
Well, She came down to research before she did her last edit on Land That I Love so that everything would be as accurate and historically correct as possible. And then she came again when she launched it, and I had the joy of being her chauffeur both times, and we had a great time. And as we were driving around to all these little hill country towns that hosted her at their libraries, and we're all so interested in their historical past and shared that with us, we got to talking as we drove about how fun it would be to write a book that included all the little vignettes of the cultural and historical backgrounds that make up the Texas Hill Country, because it's really quite unique. And then we said, ooh, how about a Christmas collection? And so that was the start of it, and she felt led to tell some stories, and we met 3 other authors who were interested in taking part in the project, and so there you go. It's not one story, but it's a collection of several short stories and novellas that together tell the story of Christmases in the Hill Country over time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So for readers who don't know, these are called anthologies.
Yes. I think we're up to 12 or 15 stories, but yes.
And how much word count is each story?
Well, they're not all novellas. That's one thing. So some are just really short stories. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the
shortest
is probably 3,000 words, and the longest is about 40,000, and is a 3 novella, it's about 28,000, so it's a short novella. But yeah, the book itself will be the length of a standard novel with all the stories put together.
Nice. That is really a neat idea, especially, of course, you guys are seasoned authors, but perhaps for new authors that are looking to break into the publishing world, that would be a wonderful option for a person like that. Wow, this sounds like fun.
It has been so far.
And at this point, we're going to go to a little break, and this is where I do remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Today, I am honored to have not one, but 2 authors with me, Gail Kittleson and Lynn Dean. And the reason that the 2 of them are here together is because they write together. And we've been talking about their writing history. We've been talking about their latest work that will be out October 1st. And it is a Christmas anthology. And it may seem strange that we're talking about Christmas now, but this was just the perfect opportune time to get the 2 of these ladies together. And we've talked about a lot more than Christmas. We've talked about historical writing. And in case you don't know it by listening so far, these ladies absolutely love Texas. That's their state. And they love history, and it's been great fun talking with them. In the event that you would like to listen to this show again, you can find it on my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. We encourage you to refer the episode to friends and family. Go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. You'll find a link to all the shows that have been aired to date. Under each link is a More Information tab, and that's where you'll find links to Gail's and Lynn's website and any social media that they would care to share, links to where to buy their books as well. So with that, let's get back to our show. You ladies have this book coming out that deals with Christmas. So tell us a little bit about what your stories are like and what the whole message of the book is.
Well, there's a whole lot of history, which shouldn't be surprising after hearing us both speak for a while. In the book, each story has history in it, and sometimes points of history that we may not have been familiar with. Personally, that's true for me. Lynn, I think, knows just about 99% of Texas history, but I don't. But yeah, so they're human interest stories. One is by Michael Barr, who is a writer for the Fredericksburg Standard and has written his own book. He agreed to write one of our stories. So that's about that Fredericksburg area, which is very highly German immigrants. And then we have one about Castroville, which is such a unique community that I had never heard of, and I still haven't been there. It wasn't on our... We didn't have time to go everywhere, but we did our best. So yeah, that was founded by a man from Alsace. Yeah,
right,
and
next door.
So
to
that's a very unique little town with the architecture and everything. There's one up in Mason. There's one way out in, help me, Medina. Is that
Medina?
Right, Lynn?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a pretty wide range.
Well, way north.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and some of them, the eras are different. So there's World War II, and there's way back to the founding, to the fights, the battles with Santa Ana in San Antonio, way back then.
So far, we span from 1835 to the present. There'll be contemporary stories, too. It's fun because while I have a fairly broad understanding of Texas history, some of the particulars, I knew that the siege of Bejar was ended in the first part of December, and I knew that the siege of the Alamo began in February of the next year. I had never really thought about what it would be like to try and celebrate Christmas between two very tense sieges. And to know that the other shoe is going to drop, that they're not going to leave it go at that. They are coming back. But how do you make a happy Christmas? How do you come back from such a hard time when you're facing another hard time and you know it, and still manage to make this window of peace in between the two events and just live your life and enjoy what you have for the time that you have it.
Yes, and I think that's part of the reason that I enjoy reading historical novels. Today, in modern day America, Lord knows we're going through some difficult times with gas prices up, and what did I hear on the news a couple of days, that there's no baby formula out there, or there's a severe shortage, and all these things that are going on, and political unrest and everything, and you read these historical works and you realize that our nation has been through this kind of thing before. There are people that came before us that struggled with some very difficult times and they got through it. And the emphasis that I enjoy most, of course, with Christian work is that the strength that they needed comes from God. That you all emphasize that in your stories as well. And that's why I lean toward Christian fiction, because it's a real life solution to problems, relying on the one who is really in charge of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So. But it's definitely not a whitewashing of the real struggles people go through.
Yeah.
And our stories, I mean, it is a Christmas collection, but there's some pretty tough times people endure in there. One character has her middle son killed by the Indians on Christmas Day, and that's a true story.
Oh.
Out at Junction that took place. So yeah, I mean, but they still, you know, they still grew in their faith somehow. Just amazing.
Yes.
To me.
Yes.
Gail
exactly.
Came up with the subtitle "Hope for Hard Scrabble Times," and the more we have written on it, the more I see that is really a great unifying theme. Because, like you said, we are going through some pretty hard times lately too, with COVID and other difficulties, but it's been the same to one degree or another for every era. No life is completely a bed of roses. There's thorns in there.
Yes, and thank you for sharing. Also, Lynn, you anticipated one of my next questions. I was going to ask, is it all the same time period? Is the whole book all the same time period? And you answered that question by saying that no, there is some historical and some contemporary. There's a mix in this anthology.
There are clusters. There's going to be a couple of stories that deal with World War II and two or three that were cover various aspects of World War I, just because it wasn't only the war, it was also the Spanish influenza and prohibition, and so they each take just a little bit different aspects. But two wars, Gail, don't we have them pretty well spread out, I think?
I think we do. And I think we also have a pretty good mix of cultures, which is what the Hill Country seems to exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of different immigrants from lots of different places, and there are, in the history, Jewish people play a big role. The story about Brady, there's a store that most people from the Brady area will recognize, and it was run by Jewish brothers. And there's, well, in the story you're working on right now, has a black hero from the early days in Texas.
Yes, and he is an actual figure from history. Hendrick Arnold was the son-in-law of Dee Smith, and they were guides and scouts together during the Revolution. He was a freedman. He came here so that he could remain free and made quite a life for himself. And this is the story of how his family made it through that tense Christmas.
I love listening to you ladies talk about this anthology, especially that it's centered around the Texas Hill Country, which is a special location for both of you. And I think the Christmas season adds a lot to the message you convey.
Yes, I have been an author in a Christmas collection before and enjoyed that experience. So that's probably one reason. But the message, you know, the hope in hope for hardscrabble times, it's, like we said already, it's been a tough couple of years for a lot of people. And some people are still just coming out of that or clinging to the fear that our nation has, or our world has experienced. And what better time of year to share other people's stories of having come through hardscrabble times and thrived, or, you know, at least been able to make it through and have found meaning still in all the troubles they went through. So I guess Christmas is just that kind of time where the overarching message is peace and goodwill.
I think for me, it's been a challenge. I tend to over-research and underwrite. It takes me a long time to turn out a book. And when Gail suggested Christmas, it gave us a deadline to shoot for. And so one of my personal goals was to do the research and then go with my gut and get it done, because you can always edit, but you cannot edit a blank page. So this has been a personal stretch for me in a growing period. And Christmas gave us something solid to shoot for that was a doable goal. And then we backed up to the 1st of October to have it published, which means all the stories had to be written so that I could begin formatting it in July and August so that it could be printed in September. And that put the heat under my little fire there. The Hill Country is fun because it's a blend of so many cultures. Sometimes it seems like our modern culture is becoming fragmented. Each of us brings a really unique and distinctive, if you will. You can't make a tapestry with only one color of thread. It takes all of us. And so the Hill Country is a living picture of what it's like when all of these cultural groups were suddenly thrown together in a very distinct environment. And they all added, said Las Posadas came from the Hispanic community, and the fiestas and a lot of the foods that we enjoy still are theirs. and then the Germans came and added a completely different aspect, but the blend that you get here is very distinctive and very unique. Charming, really.
Yes, and I'm somewhat familiar with the posadas because I was married to a Hispanic man. His family was from Mexico. He was born here, but his mom and dad were from Mexico, and his mom, she used to prepare, I believe it was the enchiladas for the posadas. Mm-hmm. Isn't the posadas where the people travel from one home to another over the Christmas holiday, and that was a big event here in town. I don't know that it
they
is
do.
So much today, but back then it was.
It's still a big deal in San Antonio. They start every year on the 16th of December, and they go for 9 nights. And what they're doing is reenacting Joseph and Mary looking for a place that would offer them hospitality. Las Posadas
yes.
means
yes.
the lodgings. And so they go from house to house, and people put candles in the windows, and they stop at several houses, and it's planned to say, no, not here, there's no room. And then they have to go on, and then every night one house hosts them and says, I'll feed you, but you can't stay here. And then the last night is Christmas Eve, and they all wind up back at the church, and there's a big party, usually here at least, usually with a star-shaped piñata and refreshments for everybody.
It's a beautiful tradition. I love it.
Most definitely. Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, now that you mention that, I have not been involved with the Catholic Church for several years, but I am going to have to ask some of my Hispanic in-laws if the posadas still are a practice here in Los Animas, because I honestly don't know. Thank you for that. I'm going to check into that and see.
I had to write Gail that one of her stories in Gatesville and Waco, and I had to write to a friend, a former student back in Waco, and say, hey, does the Catholic community there do Las Posadas? I don't ever recall it. I've lived in Waco for 30 or 40 years. And she said, oh, yes. It just wasn't part of my experience.
Right.
But it was definitely a thing. One of the other influencing factors in this was as we went from town to town and were hosted by these libraries, when Gail introduced and launched Land That I Love, they were so gracious about, I think they were very pleased that an author would come, even to a small library. Look, these towns are very rural.
Mm-hmm.
But for our part, they were so pleased that we were there and listened very attentively. And then when Gail would ask them to share their own history, they were so pleased to share it, and we got to talking. Wouldn't it be fun to set a vignette in each of these little towns as a way of saying thank you for receiving us with such gracious hospitality and for sharing with us a part of their own story? We wanted to make sure that each of those towns felt heard and appreciated, and that other people had a chance to get to know what was special about that little community that lived there. Because no two are alike. They all have their own personality.
Very nice.
Oh, that's very well said.
You have two other authors on names we haven't mentioned, and we want to get everybody's name mentioned on here. You also you mentioned Michael in addition to YouTube, but you also have Gina Lister and Shannon McFarland, who are a part of this collection as well.
That's right.
Yes.
And Shannon, I was working on the story about Brady. So in my research, a man who takes care of the museum in Brady sent me to Shannon because of her expertise and her interest in the local history. So she was very helpful to me. And in the process, you know, we got to talking, and I haven't met her yet, but we, you know how that is these days. You either chat on the you text or you talk or whatever. And she said, you know, I think I have a story from my family history that might be good. And I'm like, oh, go for it. You know, that would be wonderful. So that's the story on her. We're looking forward to her story. And it has to do with Elvis Presley when he was playing at some of the small dance halls in the Hill Country. So if anybody likes Elvis, well, there you go.
Wow.
And then I'll let you tell about Gina. Lynn.
Gina is delightful. She has written some stories from her family's time when they were stationed in Europe. She wanted her daughters, as they grew up, to still remember the things that happened, and so she wrote them as little stories for them. And then she came to one of Gail's library meetings for when she launched Land That I Love, and we met, and Gail asked her if she had any stories to share from her time here, and she said actually she did. She lives on the eastern side, not too far from where I live, but she lives on the eastern edge of the Hill Country, and we have really enjoyed getting to know each other over coffee in the meeting in the middle and swapping pages and critiquing each other's stories. She's got one, I think, almost finished and is beginning the second one, and they are delightful. And it has been really a joy to get to know her. She's quite a good writer.
Well, that is just so neat. It's so fun when you hear about people that get together in an effort like that. I happen to have a picture of a Hill Country Christmas right in front of me. So I would love to know, what was the inspiration for this absolutely beautiful book cover? Oh, my goodness, this is lovely.
Well, the inspiration
is the
desperation. The inspiration was desperation. We had kicked around some ideas, and I had said I would try and do a mock-up and see, you know, what I could come up with. It's a little bit of graphic arts is part of what I learned when I was putting together Discover Texas and learning the program in general. I looked and looked and looked online for images that were free or affordable that we could use for the cover. And it was something, we wanted something that would be typical and timeless and striking and as unique as the Hill Country is. And everything I looked for had snow or old buildings or modern buildings. It was too slanted one way or the other. And I thought, oh, what does it even look like on Christmas Day? And then I remembered, oh, well, this Christmas, our daughter came down. She is a professional photographer. And we were up at our family land at sunset on Christmas Day. Let's look at those. And I pulled them up, and the cover image was the first one that I opened, and I thought, that's it. So I went to look for other images that might go with it, and I just typed in maybe cowboy boots by a fire. And I typed that into my search bar, and I came up with boots at a fireplace, but it wasn't quite the same.
We lost that little clip, but Lynn explained how she then put in boots and campfire and came up with a different picture.
And so and the young man who owned it is a professional commercial photographer and videographer out of California. But when I contacted him to see if we could acquire the rights to it, he grew up in the Texas Hill Country. And so it was a perfect fit, and he was a perfect fit for us, and his photo was a perfect fit for my daughters, and there you have the cover.
Don't we see God's hand all over that as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Isn't that just wonderful? Oh, my goodness. How interesting. Well, I'd like to ask you, ladies, what strengths do you feel that you bring to the endeavor? You probably complement each other very nicely, and maybe some of the other authors complement you as well. How does that all fit together?
For Lynn, well, I think almost everybody who's involved in this loves history and enjoys the researching process. So that's something we all share. As I said before, Lynn is more techie than I, and she really gets how to do things on the computer, and that is wonderful. So that's a big, strong piece for me. I love to edit, and we edit each other's work, so that works out really well. Some of us, you know, see things that others don't, especially in our own work.
Gail is much more outgoing than I am. So she's the one that steps forward and just asks people, share me your history. Or would you like to write a story for this book? And
that is a good strength of hers. She is very much the extrovert. And it's been fun to watch her with these groups. She kind of comes alive and becomes the glue. It's really fun.
I can see that in Gail, even though I've never met her personally, because even over the internet, she's inspiring and very encouraging. So I can,
she's the
I
same
can
way
when
she edits.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that I have very much appreciated, because I've always done self-published work, and I'm pretty meticulous on grammar and punctuation, but Gail has professional experience teaching writing and editing and has written so many books of her own that she's very good at finding better ways of saying things and areas that could be brought out a little more strongly in the story I am trying to tell, but she also kind of, she gets it, and she's bumped me to the next level, and I really like that. It's been very valuable to me. I think what I bring is probably the historical aspect. There's a lot of history but this is kind of my backyard. So I'm pretty strong in Texas history generally, and Hill Country history specifically. And then the techie aspect is fun. I enjoy doing it, and I learned it with Discover Texas when I was desperate, but it's come in handy ever since.
It sounds like they complement each other very well. Now, do the five of you that did this particular, the Christmas story, did you have like an online critique group that all five of you met, or not so much?
No, we didn't. So far, Lynn and Gina, and I have worked with Gina too, the three of us, and then we're actually still waiting for the other two stories to come in. So I'm thinking that both Lynn and I will go over them. That's kind of probably about as much time as there will be so we can get this out on time, I'm thinking.
Well, I've heard that there's these books that are in a series, and they're all centered around the same setting. Some of the characters are going to be the same throughout this series, but each book in the series is written by a different person. Have you
heard
anything about that?
I have heard of that, and that sounds kind of neat, I think. I don't know. I've never written a story that the character didn't come to me personally, so I don't know if I would function that well, but I would try it.
I think there are central characters that are a part of, they can come in and out of the stories, but each individual author comes up with their own main characters. Kind of ancillary people, but they don't have to be main characters, but they can be. They also can be. Hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I've heard about that too. It's neat the way we can just do all kinds of different things in writing. Well, you ladies, you know what? This has been so fun. I have really enjoyed just picking your brains and listening to you and showcasing your stories and getting the word out there about it, about your anthology. It's a ways away yet, but still, I think it's going to be a really exciting book to buy. And I really love that concept of the different lengths within one book.
Gail's thought was that sometimes you sit down and you've only got 5 minutes, and other times you've got half an hour to kill while you wait for something. And so it's sort of the idea that you could pick it up and read, start anywhere and read whatever strikes your fancy for that evening.
So, yeah, they obviously don't have to be read in order either. You don't have to read from page 1 to page 390 or whatever it is. You can pick and choose your stories based on, like you just said, Lynn, the time that you have. Yeah. So, well, that sounds like a neat concept, and I would like to thank both of you for coming on the show today. This was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you taking the time, and may God bless you in all of your writing endeavors.
Thank you,
and thank you for having us.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. Let me remind you to go to pattysheen.com, that's spelled patitishene.com to access the show if you would like to listen again. Also, please refer it to friends and family. You'll find the link to this current episode and the last four episodes on the homepage. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page takes you to all the episodes we have aired to date. Under each listing is a More Information tab. Click on that to find further information about each guest and links to websites, social media connections, and any other resources. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit